Thank the youth for leading us in worship today, and I thank you for being here today. Now, the month of July has been what? Talking about freedom in Christ. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those that are in who? Christ Jesus, right? No condemnation. We talked about the past and how the devil brings it up and how we remember it sometimes, but we're free in Christ and the past has been forgiven if we are in Christ. That simply means if we've been saved, if we've asked Him to forgive us of sin, then the past is forgiven. We even talked about freedom in the present. The temptations or the trials or the whatever we go through in present life, that God will never leave us or forsake us. So we're talking about freedom in Christ. Freedom from discouragement, that we don't have to be a slave to discouragement because of what the Lord has done for us. Not saying that we won't ever be discouraged, but we don't have to be a slave to discouragement. And this brings us to the last message in July, and it's talking about fear, the freedom we have from fear. Now, you go into school, these youngsters, maybe the first time or whatever, there may be some fear there. You might remember that yourself, if you can remember back that far, a little fear of whatever. But we, as the children of the Lord, we can be above fear. One summer night, a thunderstorm was coming. It was strong, and Mom was tucking the little fella into bed. And he said, "Mom, can you stay with me all night?" And she smiled and gave him a big old hug and reassured him and said, "No, I have to stay in Daddy's room tonight." There's a long piece of silence there. Nothing was said, real quiet. And then the little fella said, "The big sissy." Five-year-old Johnny was at home with his mom and going to help her cook supper, if you will. And she said, "Go into the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup." And Johnny looked in the pantry and it was dark and it was deep. And he said, "I don't want to go in the pantry." And she says, "It's okay, son. Jesus will be with you. He's there with you." And Johnny opened the pantry door, and it was still deep and still dark. And Johnny said, "Jesus, if you're in there, go ahead and hand me the tomato soup." Oh, mercy. Now, I want you to complete this one. You know this one. First inaugural address on March 4, 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt stated this. He said, "So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Ever you remember that one? So, this thing called fear. Sometimes we have fear. When we were little, maybe we were afraid of the dark. We didn't want to go into the pantry. Maybe we were afraid of the big storms and lightning and the way the storms are in Mississippi every now and then. I'm still a little fearful the way things happen so quick. So we know what that is as a child, but we also know what it is to grow up. We know what it is to have some fear when we get older, too, at times. A bunch of folks in Mississippi Power are losing their job. Right, Doug? Doug said, "Yeah, I know that feeling." I don't know if Doug had any fear in that or what, but there can be fear and hey, I might lose my job. Finances or what have you. The marriage isn't going the way I would like it to do, so to go. So there's some fear there. The children are acting up, or the market took a big chunk of my retirement. So what will happen? So we grow up, we know there's some fears too. But we don't have to be a slave to fear either. If we're in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If we know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we have a lot of promises that we can live by. So I don't know what the fear factor is here with you today, but it could be relational. It could be in your finances. It could be what have you. It could be in your health. but I want us to know that we have freedom in Christ, and we can be free when it comes to fear also. Romans 8, 31 through 34, what then shall we say in response to this? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died? More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Verse 31, well, what are we going to say to this? How are we going to respond to this if God's for us? Who can be against us? What are we going to say to these things? Because of all the blessings that was spoken about earlier in the chapter and the book of Romans, how can you doubt that God loves you? How can you doubt that God is not on your side? So, taking all that the book of Romans has said, what are we going to say to these things? Are we not convinced that God loves us? Are we not assured that He's going to be with us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If, it's not an if like if He is for us or if He is not for us. Really, it's translated, since God is for us, who can be against us? So, say that with me. Since God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, since God is for us, who can be against us? Since God is for us, who can be against us? All right? It's not, well, he might be for me or he might not be if. No, it's since. Since God's for us, who can be against us? Doesn't mean we'll never have a problem. Never mean that we'll not have any opposition in life. We know that happens. But it does not matter what comes against us. God is for us. Do you really believe that? You know, it sounds good. It'll even preach pretty good if you're a preacher. But do you believe it in the mind and the heart that God's for us? And who can be against us? What can happen? What can separate us, it goes on to say here, from the love of God? And we'll get there in just a moment. It doesn't matter what happens. God's for us and He loves us. People can make life difficult. You've probably experienced that once or twice in your life. Somebody really trying to make life difficult for you. Even we hear on the news of how people have murdered people or shot somebody. It's just all over the news and local community around the world as far as that goes. They can take your life, but they cannot take your salvation in Jesus Christ. Nobody can do that. You have control of that yourself. You make the decision to serve God. You make the decision to serve Jesus Christ. You made the choice to come here today. You made the choice to read your word or God's word and do your devotions. You make the choice whether you'll tithe to this church. You make the choice whether you'll be faithful to His kingdom and faithful to Him. You make that choice. Somebody else said amen to that too. There's one in the house. You make that choice. God's made His decisions. Now here we are as Jones Chapel Church of God, getting ready to have a business meeting, getting ready to have a new fiscal year. And we will make choices whether we will be faithful to the kingdom, whether we will tithe our income, whether we will be faithful to Sunday school, whether we will attend small groups, what we will do on Wednesday nights, what this coming year will be. We have a lot of choices. Not just the preacher. If I can make people do what I want them to do, I'd just line you up. You know? But that's not what I do. You love God because you love God, not because I tell you to. It's your choice. So, Who can separate us? What are we going to say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? God's done His part and is doing His part. Amen. And Jesus has done His part and is doing His part. And will always do His part. Now, if there's anybody that has to make a decision, it's me. Woo, goodness. There's some dirt up in that thing. Lord, forgive me. What in the world was in that? I am telling you, got it on my word here. Got it in the book. Mercy. Looks like coffee grounds. I just can't have that. Excuse me. Now, we've got to make the choice what to do, right? What can we say? God loves us. He's for us. What are we going to do? Well, that's the choices we have to make. And I'm not making light of situations. There's wives who have been abused by husbands. And some way in the mind of that wife, she thinks, you know, God let that happen to me, so I don't have any time for God. There have been children who have been abused in homes. In some way, they hear the word father and father figure, and they associate what an evil man has done with the father. We say that it's in heaven. So there's wicked things happen. There's bad things happen in this world because of the fall of man, because of the devil himself. So there's very serious situations that can happen, and we realize that. But I'll tell you, they will pay. You know, sometimes people say, preacher, why don't God do this, A, B, C, or D, and why don't He do it now? And I don't have the answers for that. Why God doesn't do whatever that individual thinks should be happening, and why don't He do it right now? But I guarantee you, He is righteous, He is holy, He is just, and God will take care of it. God will take care of it. God, Jesus, is the one who knows the heart. Jesus is the judge, and Jesus does all things exactly perfect. Where I don't know all the facts and you don't know all the facts about life situations and people, He does. And I guarantee you, those people who do those very terrible evil things will pay. Unless they get saved, they'll rot in hell forever and forever and forever. And it'll be much worse punishment than anything I could do to anybody or you could do to anybody for the evil things they do. God will take care of it. You don't have to worry about that. So, Paul says here, who will bring a charge against God's people? Who will bring this charge against God's elect? We've been told over and over that God justifies His people. God's the one who says, I'm innocent because I asked His Son, Jesus, to forgive me of sin, accepted Him as my Savior and Lord, and therefore God says, I'm innocent because of my relationship with Jesus. God does that, nobody else. So, verse 34 here, he gives us some very good reasons of why is this. He says Jesus died for us. He says Jesus was raised for us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is interceding for us. And who is greater than God? No one. So if no one's greater than God, then who can be against us? And you say, well, here's these things can be against us, but if you belong to God, He is greater than all these other things. So the question of the day is are you right with God? If, you know, we're in Jesus Christ, and again, we make fun of that little two letters, IF, if is a big word we say. If we are right with Jesus, then who can come against us? But we got to make sure we're right with Jesus, that we're saved, and it's not just in a thought, it's not just in our mind somewhere that, yeah, I took a class, I had a warm fuzzy. No, am I right, am I saved, and am I living for the Lord, and is my life what He wants it to be? And that's important that it is. On the screen, look with me at verses 35 and 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. So who shall separate us from the love of God? And then here he goes. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. All these things he lists for us. Who will separate us here? Is all these things, can they separate us from the Lord? And he says, hey, no, they cannot. But how many people do you know that they say they're saved and they said they was going to church and they're doing these things that it looks like, and again, we're not the judge, but it appears that fruit is there, that they're living, and something bad happens in their life. And they cannot get a hold of it. What in the world happened, and why did God let this happen? And they turn away from God because of this bad happening in their life. So there's a lot of that happens. But no matter what happens around us, we've got to remember the facts here. We've got to remember that Jesus loves us. We've got to remember that Jesus loves us no matter how I feel today or how I feel next week, that Jesus loves us. We've got to remember if this circumstance and this thing in life happens to us, we don't like, it can be tragic, we don't even understand it, that Jesus still loves us. We've got to know that God is love. And we know there's wicked things happen and bad things happen in this world, and they're not God's fault. But as a human being, some way we get it wrapped around with the devil's help that this God allowed this bad thing to happen, which he may have allowed it to happen, and we don't understand it, and therefore God's no good. God is good. God is love, and he loves you no matter the circumstances you've been through. People are mistreated, and I'm very sad about that. Bad things happen to good people that I do not understand. Sometimes we cause our own issues, too. We can't forget that one. Sometimes people suffer just simply because of their faith. People in India and foreign countries are being persecuted and killed because of one reason. They proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. So why would God allow that to happen? Why would they be martyrs in this world today and in history that God would allow his servant to be killed? Well, we don't understand that sometimes as human, but I do say to you today that in bad things, God can still receive glory. You believe that or not? You believe it? Say amen. Do you like it? Say amen. That's what I thought. In bad things, God can still receive glory, and we don't understand it, and sometimes we don't even like it. And sometimes, because we're human, we can tend to feel, this happened to me, I don't understand it, so therefore, I don't know about God. And the enemy of our soul comes rushing in with all kinds of doubt and all kinds of things to fill our mind with. And we can feel like, has God left me here? What's the deal, God? Have you left me? I'm here to tell you he will not leave you. And I'm not trying to say that bad things don't ever happen and all that, you know. But in those things, God can still receive glory. So fear, what are you fearful of today? Jesus loves you. He will help you no matter what is going on. Trouble, is it there? You're experiencing trouble. You're experiencing a hardship. Some kind of persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. all these things might be going on. But God still loves you. And you are what? More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror through Jesus Christ the Lord. Verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced. Now this one you can probably quote. You've heard it and heard it. For I am convinced that neither, what? Death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. You've heard it, you've read it, you know it. But are you convinced? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present or future, powers, heights, depths, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's so much to take in. Have you read this? Yeah, I've read it. Paul says, listen, I'm going to give you a little personal commentary here in so many words. He's saying, listen, I am completely convinced. This is Paul now, and you remember what kind of life he lived. You remember when he got saved. You remember what all the things he went through. And I'm not going to get into a sermon just on that. But he tells us that he is completely convinced, even through the hard times that he had. No condition of existence. Now take that in. Of life or death or life. None of these things, this is huge, you know. These conditions of existence, it can't take you away. It can't separate you from the love of God. Now, who does not fear death a little bit? You know, you say, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Right, I know that. But I've not walked through that process of death yet. Somebody says, hey, buddy, you got 3 weeks. You've got this or that or the other. I've heard it. What would happen in my mind and my heart and what would be flooding my emotions? I just cannot tell you the answer to that, but some people have faced it. Many have. But even life or death cannot separate me from Jesus. The last funeral, Miss Nancy Alexander, moved from this life to the next. On our minds, probably, since it's the last one in the church body. And she moved in the very presence of the Lord. That transition didn't separate her from the love of God. Think about that. And I know you know it, but think about it a little bit today. That even death itself does not separate us from the love of God. If we're in Jesus, if we're saved, if we're born again, if we're living for Him, it can't separate us. No being at all. No power, no being, not the angels, not the principalities, no time frame. Present, future, it cannot separate us from the love of God. No power. Nothing in space, not the heights, not the depth, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God. So, what are you fearful of? What are you facing? What circumstances come to your mind and your life? And I tell you, I don't know what you're facing or who you may be facing or what the circumstance may be. But I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you do not have to fear if you're in Jesus Christ. If you're in Jesus Christ, you do not have to fear. Some of you, you know, might say, well, preacher, I don't feel too loved by God today. And you might have some reason for that. I don't feel too loved today by God. And you might be thinking because of your past or what happened. That sermon's already been preached, but if you're in Jesus, that past is forgiven. well, I don't feel too loved today because of this situation, and I just don't understand God. And I know I'm a Christian, but I've prayed over this, and I don't see a breakthrough. I don't see an answer. I tell you, keep praying because God still loves you, whether you see all of it or not. Somebody did this to me. They might have abused you as a child or as an adult. And you say, I'm still having problems with that. Well, there may be some problems there, but I guarantee you Jesus Christ the Lord still loves you. Nothing can separate you from His love. In Christ, we have no fear. So, if we are in Christ, none of these things here that we listed or He listed, no condition of existence or beings or time frame or powers, nothing in space, nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God. So if that is true, and I submit to you it is true that nothing can separate you from the love of God, then so it looks to me like the only problem I have is myself. It looks to me like, if this is true, and again I submit to you it is, the only problem I have is me. If all of this is true, and it is, that none of these things can separate me from the love of God, it appears to me that I have a big choice, that I have a lot to do here. If God has done His part, and He has, if Jesus has done His part, and He has, then it appears to me I have a lot of choices to make. I have to say to myself, okay, this is God's holy word. This is absolute truth. And this is what it says to me right here in this book of Romans. So I've got to make sure that I do my part. Because all these things won't separate me from the love of God. So am I in tune with Him? Am I doing what the Word tells me to do? That I experience, that I feel what it's saying here. I want to experience Jesus, not just hear about Him. I want to know, well, hey, who shall separate us from the love of God? Trouble, hardship, and all this? And He says, no, and all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. Well, what about those days I don't feel like a conqueror? How about those days that I feel let down? Jesus still loves me, and I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ the Lord. If you are in Jesus, you don't need to fear what man can do, the world can do, and all these other things in life if you're in Jesus Christ and His child. And I say to you with much love, if you're not in Jesus, if you're not saved, if you know you're not living where you need to be, you have every right to be very fearful of the devil's hell. And the bottom line, you need to come to this altar and give your heart to Jesus Christ and tell Him you know you're a sinner and I need to be saved, and today here I am and I want to get the job done. So, do you know where you're going after this life? It's one of two places, heaven or hell. Still just two places. Only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Lord. And He loves you. So you can have freedom in Christ, freedom from fear, because as Paul said, for I'm convinced that neither, and he gives us this big list, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You are loved by God. No matter the circumstances, no matter the good or the bad, your experience in life, you are loved by God.